Well, how many are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Give Him a big cheer. You know, I heard somebody a while ago, I hadn't heard in a long time. When we were growing up, I used to hear the whistling. Somebody was whistling a while ago. And I thought, where's that coming from? I said, man, I like that. That is wonderful. Your praise and worship team did a wonderful job this morning. I want to tell you, give them a cheer. They did an awesome job. Great. Amen. Well, I want to spend for just a minute giving you some word from the Lord. But I really want to, I guess I have an audience of two this morning. Because I want to speak to your pastor and his wife and his and their hearts from our heart. And what God has given me to give to you today. I'm going to be speaking to all of you. But I have just a few words for your pastor and his wife. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you in the Lord. But before I do that, I put together a little video. And there is, and I put this from your church family. And there is a celebrity on this video that wants to wish you a happy Pastor Appreciation Day. So Brother Taylor, I want you to watch. Sarah, I want y'all to watch this video, and this is a sentiment for the, from the church. Pay close attention. Go ahead, brother. Appreciate your pastor this morning, his wife Sarah. Why don't you stand to your feet, give them a standing ovation, and say, we appreciate you by applauding them this morning. Such wonderful people. Such wonderful people. Amen. The Bible declares, how beautiful are the feet of those who spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've got a beautiful pastor, beautiful pastor's wife. And I want to say that this morning. I'm going to speak to you for just a few minutes, primarily to your pastor and his wife. There were some attributes that were given on the video. One was that we pray for guidance for the path that your feet will daily follow. Another was we pray for wisdom for the counsel that you're asked to give. Will that be your prayer every day? To pray for wisdom, to pray for compassion for those that you're called upon to help. What we wish for him is strength. You want your pastor to stand up for what is true and right, even in the face of opposition. To have courage to press on, even when things seem to be out of the routine. To have perseverance to follow the desires that God has placed in his heart. Someone mentioned that he has a vision for the church. The Bible declares, without a vision, the people perish. And I believe a church that has a vision will see great fruit for their labor. How many believe that this morning? You have great fruit for the labor. But what we want to give, and these are the three bullet points that I want to just discuss this morning. One is we want to give support to him as a leader. And I want to talk about that for just a few minutes. I remember hearing a story about a mother who went to wake up her son. And she said to him, she called on the phone and she said, "Son, it's time to wake up. It's Sunday morning and you need to get up and you need to go to church." The son did not want to get up. He did not want to go. And the mother insisted that he get up and that he go. He said, "I don't want to go to church this morning, Mom." And she says, "Well, why don't you want to go to church?" And he said, "Well, nobody there likes me. Nobody's friendly. People shun me." And she says, "Well, son, you've got to get up and go to church." And he says, "Well, I want you to give me at least two reasons why you think that I should go to church this morning." She said, "Well, number one, God requires it. He wants you there." And she said, "And number two, you're the pastor." Sometimes, and I can relate, sometimes as a pastor, you may feel isolated, and there are statistics out there all over the place about the isolation of pastors. In the time we're living in, it is extremely difficult, extremely difficult profession. There's so many people that you are in contact with week by week. But I bring encouragement this morning that even though you have so many people that you're in contact with, God's hand is upon you every step of the way. I read a story not long ago of a gentleman who said to make sure that all of the people in your boat are rowing with you and not secretly drilling holes when you're not looking. In other words, he says, know your circle. And I like that because as leaders, they're in the boat with the church. And hopefully we got all rowers. Because when you have those that tend to drill holes in the boat and work against what God is doing, the boat begins to fill with water. And I feel like this morning that you've got a fine pastor. And I believe that God has called for all of us to grab an oar and become rowers in the boat. Because God has a destination for all of us in this boat. I heard this same preacher say one time, he said, be selective about the people that you let in to the boat. Well, in the church family, there are a diversity of people, different kinds of people. And I want to see if I can get an amen on this. Aren't you glad that there are different kinds of people in the church? A diversity of people? Could you imagine what the church would look like if everybody was just like your pastor? And I say then, kind of jokingly, or even anybody else. We have a diversity of people. And in this circle of influence, this circle that we have, God has given us what it takes to keep pressing forward, that perseverance to keep pressing forward. There is a destination. And God's word is filled with this truth. I like the story of Moses and Aaron, but they had to deal with the same issues of hole drillers. Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall. He had to deal with hole drillers. Jesus continually dealt with it. In fact, God allows it because it continually will test our faith and our endurance. He will continually identify. And I like this because there are certain times we look and we say there may be weeds growing among us. And he'll continually, do you realize he continually grows his wheat regardless of the weeds that are growing among us? I like this because one of the guys that I love, an author that I love of the past, he's already gone on to be with the Lord. He said the following words. He said, Satan isn't attacking the church, he's joining it. And he would much rather sow tares than pull up wheat. And when we think about that, the powerful truth, this powerful truth should drive us to our knees to seek the wisdom that comes from God. And it should be an iron on our back to continue rowing in the direction of eternity, the spiritual health of the body of Christ. The church is at stake. And I don't know about you, the church is not going under. It's going up. The church is not going to sidetrack it. The church is going straight through. The church is going over. The church is victorious. And can I make a comment this morning? I hope that all of you will agree. We're all in this journey together as the family of God. And come what may, the devil may try to attack from the left and the right, or he may try to his best to belittle what we are doing. But yet we continue to put our hands on the oars and continue to row, because there is an end result, and the end result is victory for the people of God. I'm here to make a declaration. The declaration is the church is not going to experience defeat. The church is going to experience victory, 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 victory shall be mine. In the book of Esther chapter 4, there is a wonderful story, and I want to share it with you. Just briefly this morning, a little background concerning Esther, the prominent feature in this book, an Old Testament book. Her story is a story of hole drillers. In fact, it's also a story of true leadership. I speak to your pastor this morning concerning that leadership. It's a story of Jews who were under captivity of the Persian king Xerxes. And it happens about 400 and some odd years before Christ. And a woman named Esther and her cousin and a guardian whose name is Mordecai are Jews in exile in Persia. It's a story of how they work to rescue God's people from a plot to destroy the people of God. The book of Esther never mentions, listen closely, never mentions God by name, not one time. But you can look in the book of Esther and find God's hand of protection and His plan woven throughout the entire story. Sometimes it may look like that God is nowhere near. but He's in the mix. Sometimes it may look like that God is not doing anything and He is not helping in any way, but God is in the mix. Jesus said the following words, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And Jesus in that promise promises that even in the hardships, how many know Jesus is going to be with you? Even in the midst of trouble, Jesus is going to be with you. Oh, but I can't feel Him. Oh, He's there. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. You're going to get through it because the Lord is with you. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to be able to overcome this. You will overcome this because Jesus is with you. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to be able to accomplish this. It doesn't look like I have the resources. It doesn't look like I have the right amount of people. It doesn't look like I have the number of people that I need. You don't have to worry about the number. You don't have to worry about the how. You don't have to worry about when, because you have Jesus with you every step of the way. He's already worked out the how. He's already worked out the why, the what you're going to do and the when you're going to do it. He's already got the right amount of resources. You don't even need an army of 1,000. All you need is the great hand of Almighty God with you every step of the way. I encourage you today to keep holding to the great hand of God. You may not feel Him, but He's there. You may not realize that He's right in the mix of things, getting things ready, because He's not here. Listen what I'm getting ready to say. He's not here for your defeat. He's here for your victory. He's the one that's got the banner. You don't have to make banner. He's already got the banner. And when He brings the banner up, the banner's going to unfold. And the words on that banner are going to read, victory shall be yours. Somebody give Him praise in the house of the Lord. Oh, Rata Kohoshatalabahaya. Handalabahasataya. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Esther was this Jewish exile. She later becomes Xerxes' queen. Let me tell you how she became queen. Some people just got it. I mean, it's just evident. I better stop right there. She won a beauty contest. This is not a story of political correctness, by the way, folks. She's attained the place of power by the hand of God's design. And then she realized, here come the hole drillers. The hole driller in her time was a man by the name of Haman. And his ego was bigger than all of Persia. In Esther chapter 3, you can read in your devotional time, Haman hates Mordecai. He hates him so much that he not only wants to kill him, but he wants to kill every one of the people that Mordecai is associated with. And he devises a plan to carry it out. Esther chapter 3, the latter part of that chapter, when Mordecai learns of this. Oh, hallelujah, if we could have some good old-fashioned evangelical Pentecostals to get back to this. When he learns about this, the Bible says that he tears his clothes and he puts sackcloth over top of him and he lays down in ashes. Oh, if we could just get back to some humbleness in our lives. You know what the church world needs is some people who have spent time with God on their knees. Mordecai gets to that place that he rents his clothes and he gets in sackcloth and he gets in ashes, and the Bible says that he grieves bitterly. But then he also sends a message to his adopted daughter. And to Esther he says, Esther, go before the king and beg for mercy. Plead for your people. And then all of a sudden, she sends a message back, and here's the message that she sends back. She says, everyone knows that anyone who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned will be put to death. There's a significance to that. Unless he contends with his golden scepter to bring you in, you cannot come in to where the king is. Mordecai says, don't think that just because you are in the king's house that you escape, Esther. You must not remain silent. You must not keep silent. Deliverance will come. And who knows but that you may have come to your royal position. And here's the famous words of Mordecai. You have come to this position in your life for such a time as this. You see, I'm made to believe that God knows how to ordain times such as this. I'm made to believe that God knows how to orchestrate times when He brings people together for a great revival or a great outpouring. All of the great revivals of the past, the first great outpouring, even the second great outpouring, and now we're looking for this great end revival. I believe that God has a people, and these people, praise the Lamb of God, are being ordained for such a time as this. I don't believe the church world is going under. I believe the church world is getting ready for one last great revival. How many believe that this morning? We're getting ready for an announcement, and that announcement is getting ready down the road somewhere to come into play. We're not looking for destruction, and we're not looking for the bounds of hell. We're looking for a great outpouring to usher in the presence of the Almighty God. We're looking to the skies. Praise the Lamb of God, because the Bible records and gives us this great instance that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God is going to sound. Somebody hear what I'm saying this morning. There's getting ready to be an outpouring, and I want to be part of that outpouring. Somebody raise your hands to God and give Him praise. Somebody don't praise the Lord. I'm going to shout by myself. There's going to be an anointing and an outpouring from God like we've never seen before. And somebody needs to get out of their comfort zone and let the power of God flood their being. Somebody give Him praise in the house of the Lord. She sends a message back and she says, I don't think I can do it. You see, I found out something. You ready? Listen. Here's my first point this morning. Great leaders believe, everybody say believe, they believe in the providence of God. Pastor, great leaders believe in the providence of God. What do you say that? Mordecai told Esther to keep her Jewish ancestry quiet until now. Now's the time to reveal it, he said. Now's the time to risk it all. Now's the time to bring it out. Mordecai's wisdom of this is this. God's people are going to be saved. It might come from another place, but you, Esther, you are where you are. Somebody say that. You are where you are for a reason. You are where you are for a reason. And Pastor, your leadership, it is the providence of God. Believe that. Great leaders believe in the providence of God. And one of the burdens of leadership, you ready for this? Listen. Listen real closely. Sometimes the burdens of leadership is to be unpopular when necessary. You're not always going to be popular. If I was in this for a popularity contest, I'd quit a long time ago. I heard one leader, John Maxwell, said, if you want to please everybody, go sell ice cream. You're not going to please everybody. You're going to be unpopular sometimes. You see, the king here is Xerxes. He is powerful. Haman is number two in his command. And Mordecai will not bow to anybody but the true and living God. How many know that God is calling for us in the 21st century to not bow to anything but the true and living God, Abba, Father, our Daddy, this morning? He's calling for us to lift up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ and say, I will be faithful to the end. Lord, I will serve you to the end. I will not give in to the vices that have come at me and against me. I will stand up and in your providence will declare victory in the name of the Lord. My name means nothing this morning. Oh, but my Father's name means everything. In the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. At the name of Jesus, you can be healed. At the name of Jesus, you can receive a miracle. At the name of Jesus, a mighty power of the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Somebody lift your praise to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. Xerxes is so powerful. They tell Haman about Mordecai. And all of a sudden Haman, he used his influence to defend his ego and destroy his enemies. The Bible tells us the Jews. And he told the king, he said, let me tell you about these Jewish people. Can I give you a good word from the Lord this morning? Did you know the devil is talking about the people of the Lord? Somebody say, yippee. Because if he's talking about you, that means he hadn't got you. He wants you, but he hasn't got you. And he starts talking about the people of God, and he said, well, these people, they separate themselves. They don't obey your laws. King, it's just not in your interest to tolerate them anymore. So I want you to do something. King, issue a decree. And in this decree, I want you to make this decree. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 10,000 talents of silver if you'll do this decree. And so the king stamps the order, and the couriers are sent throughout the land. On the 13th day of the 12th month, he said, all the Jews in the land, young, old, women, children, men, you are going to be slaughtered. And I'm sure that many people in Persia saw this as what they would call an ethnic cleansing and a time to pad their own bank accounts and take the plunder of the land. And now Esther has decided that if I believe God and I believe that he's put me in this place of influence and it comes to her mind, I do believe that God has placed me here for such a time as this. For such a time as this. I oftentimes ask why is supporting leaders that are being used of God so important? I'll tell you why. Because they have put themselves at risk in the front line of this battle in the army of the Lord. They're willing to be unpopular for what is right. They understand the providence of God and are humbly trying to see their influence of God's glory and His people's protection. They are witnessing that every day. You see, real leadership in church is about two things. You know what it's about? It's about calling. And it's about character. That's what real leadership is about. Each of us need to believe that God has called us to follow Him by His Spirit. And leaders understand that calling is matched by a life that is held in holiness. I'm tremendously privileged to serve with leaders like that in the Appalachian Conference. They come to understand the essentials of the four P's, I like to call them. And those four P's are priority, prayer, pastoring, and protection. And these essentials are needed when you're rowing together. All of a sudden, Haman is happy because Esther makes a decision to listen to Mordecai's counsel. She puts her life at risk. She's going to go before King Xerxes. You know what happens? Do you know that the devil loves it when you fail? The devil loves it when you're in danger. Satan loves it when there is an upheaval. Satan loves it when there's chaos. Satan loves it when the church is in disunity. Amen. Satan loves it when it seems like everything is going to fall from within. He is not, he don't have to use something on the outside. He has come in the midst and he's caused everything to look like it's going to fall right from the beginning or right in the middle. He loves that. But little does he know that the God who holds the church together is the God who holds the church up. The God that holds the church together is the God that holds the church up. When it seems like you're sinking, he's got a hand ready to pull you out. If you don't believe me, ask Peter. When it looks like that you're ready to be burned in the fiery furnace, he's the God that doesn't stand on the outside and say, come on out. He's the God that walks right in the fire where you are. Shadadabahaya. Somebody lift your hand to heaven and feel what I feel in this place. He walks right in the fire where you are. And then all of a sudden everybody starts looking around and they start saying, wait just a minute. Did we not cast three men into the fiery furnace? There's Shadrach, there's Meshach, and Abednego. Did we not cast three men into the fiery furnace? But wait just a minute. There's a fourth man that's standing there. And I'm so glad that the king recognized, hey, wait just a minute. And the fourth one is likened unto the Son of Man. You know why? Because right in the midst of your fire, right in the midst of your situation, he doesn't stand out and say, come over here where I'm at. He knows that you're bound and you're gonna feel the flames, and that it seems hard for you to be loose from the situation you're in. Then all of a sudden, praise the Lamb of God, he comes where you are. He doesn't tell you to come to where he's at. He comes to where you are. If you're in the valley, he's gonna come to the valley. If you're in the valley of the shadow of death, he's gonna come to the valley of the shadow of death. Somebody lift your hands to heaven and say, thank God, he comes to where I am. How many are glad when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? He came to where you were. He came to where you were. And all of a sudden, there is this warning. Haman has got happy. He's got high in spirits. Haman has planned to kill Mordecai. And the Bible says that he built a gallows of 50 cubits. You look that up, it's about 75 feet high. And there's a warning and there is an encouragement that's found in God's Word. James chapter 4, verse number 6. Listen to God's Word. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. The next point I want to make is arrogance and leadership cannot coexist. Arrogance and leadership cannot coexist. Haman found this out the hard way. You know how? Up a 75-foot pole. His pride caused him to oppose Mordecai, and in turn he opposed Esther, and it cost him his own life. And although Xerxes was a powerful king and opposed all of the children of Israel at first, how many know there is no king more powerful than our king? My God is a powerful God. How many serve a powerful God in this place this morning? Oh, hallelujah. And the Bible says that all of a sudden these godly people all of a sudden they started doing what God had called them. In fact, I look at this from the perspective, because a healthy church is not filled with arrogant people who drill holes in the boat. The church is filled with people who understand God's mission. They understand the support that they need to give leadership that keeps the rudder pointed in the right direction and rowing with. When the pastor gets a vision and the people start sharing that vision, all of a sudden, instead of being hole drillers in the boat, you become a rower in the boat, and we're all working together. Can I give you a good word from the Lord? The pastor cannot row the boat by himself. He needs the team to help row the boat. Oh, hallelujah. And then all of a sudden we find that when that happens, what God does, sometimes he gives that wind that comes behind us. Aren't you glad for the wind of the Holy Ghost that propels us forward and pushes us forward? Here's something we need to understand, is that God's Spirit is always the thrust behind what we are doing. It is not by our own accord. It is not by our own might. It is not by our own power. But it is by His Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I am where I am today because of the thrust of the Holy Ghost. This church is where it is today because of the thrust of the Holy Ghost. This church did not become what it is today because of a man. You've had great pastors. You've got a great pastor. But your pastor is not the one who thrusts the church forward. He's only a leader in the boat with you. But we need the thrust of the Holy Ghost to push the church even further. Because on the day of Pentecost, it was not about a man. It was about the power of an almighty God and the thrust of the Holy Ghost. Somebody give Him praise in the house of the Lord. Let me wrap this up because I've seen a few people licking their lips. If God is in opposition to you, it's because of pride and arrogance. If God is in opposition to you, it's because of pride and arrogance. There will be no joy in your life. You'll have constant conflict with others. There will be war going on in your soul. And either you will surrender to God and seek peace, or you'll keep fighting a losing battle. So Esther ends with God providing victory. When all seems lost, even after Haman's death, there was a problem. The Bible says that Persian law dictated that after an order was given and the king sealed it with his ring, his signet ring, that it could not be rescinded. The Bible says on the 13th day of the 12th month, the enemies of the Jews hoped to overcome the Jews and plunder their goods. You see, Haman was dead. Can I make a comment this morning? I don't mean this disrespectfully, but do you know when the devil uses somebody and God finally moves that person out of the way, Satan doesn't stop there. He'll find somebody else he can use. Haman was gone. But here was his followers. And the Bible says the Jews begin to fight and they overwhelmingly, listen to that word, overwhelmingly destroyed their enemies. Mordecai becomes the leader for his people. And I like what the last verse of that book says. Turn to Esther chapter 10, verse number 3. And here's what the Word of God declares. Mordecai, the Jew, was second in rank to King Xerxes, preeminent among the Jews and held in high esteem by his many fellow Jews, because he worked for the good of his people and he spoke up. Somebody say these words, speak up. Do you know God doesn't want his people to be silent? He wants us to speak up. Do you need a mountain that needs to be overcome? Speak up. Do you have a situation in your life that needs God's help? Speak up. Allow God to hear your voice. You know what I like about music? It's speaking up. Music sounds loud. I love when Joshua was getting ready to defeat Jericho. Do you remember what he did? He got ready to go with his army and defeat. And then all of a sudden, I like what the captain of the Lord's army, Brother Taylor, captain of the Lord's army, said, no, you got it all wrong. This is not how you're going to do it. This is not how you're going to do it. You're not going to run in there and just try to destroy Jericho. Jericho is a straightly shut up walled city, and it's going to be hard to get into Jericho. But here's what you're going to do. For the first day, you're just going to march. You're going to do what? You're just going to march the first day. And I don't know about you, if you calculate the number of times, you're just going to march. So they march. And I can hear, I can hear all those Pentecostals marching around that wall. What are we going to do next? This don't make sense. Can I give you a good word from the Lord this morning? Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Just because it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean that God has lost the wheel. He knows what he's doing. Second day, third day, all the way to the seventh day. And I want you to hear this. He said, on that seventh day, make a declaration. Lay down your weapons of warfare. Pick up your instruments. Do you know that when we're here and we're singing praises to the Lord, you're talking about something that really disturbs the devil and brings praise into the church, brings freedom in the church, because where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. The songs begin to play, the instruments begin to play. And thank God, as Christian believers, we're not here to put on a show, and we're not here to exercise our talents to show how, man, you've got some great talent. But I noticed their worship this morning was enjoying, and they were lifting up an almighty God. I was here, I heard whistling. I'm thinking, my God, it's been a long time since I've heard people whistle. Whoever that is happy because they love Jesus. Oh, I know. I'd like to hear some people whistle again. Hey, man, was that you? Okay. I thought you was admitting it. But I heard whistling. You know what? It's time. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. It's time that people of God start laughing again. It's time that people start praising again. I don't know if anybody knows this or not, but you're in a Pentecostal holiness church. Anybody know that? And we're not afraid to clap our hands and lift our hands to God and stand to our feet and give Him a shout of praise. Listen, I don't want to refer to the old days because they're already gone. We're ready for a new day in Jesus Christ in which people are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Somebody lift your voice to the Lord and give Him praise in the house of God. We're in the presence of an almighty God. We're in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My God, stand to your feet this morning. Lift your hands to heaven and say, what a mighty God we serve in this place. How many love Him this morning? Just stand to your feet. Everybody in here, if you can, stand to you this morning. My. The third point I want to make is this. God always wins. He always wins. Let me give you another word from the Lord. You ready for this one? He's never lost the battle. What? Are you sure? Never. Never. Somebody say never. Never lost the battle. So I speak to your pastor this morning. I give him these sentiments, but I also give them to you this morning. Through obedience, God will always bring you through. He'll always bless you. He'll always touch you. He'll always be with you. I want you to do something this morning. I want you to lift your hand. I want you to stretch it toward the pastor and his wife. In fact, why don't both of you come up here? Kit, would you come up here? Just face the audience, would you? You've got a fine pastor here. I know him personally. I know his heart, his wife. I know him personally. But you've got a fine pastor here. How many want to see God do things in the upcoming years that you have never seen before? How many want to see a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit here in this Blue Well community and see voice of praise on fire with God and the Holy Spirit moving? How many want to see that? Oh, hallelujah. Stretch your hands this way. Father, we anoint and we bless our pastor this morning. And God, we lay our hands upon him for blessing this morning. God, I pray that as you will encourage him, you'll also remind him that no weapon formed against him will prosper. that, Lord, your anointing is upon him. And the final point I made this morning, God, you always win, and we want to be on the winning team. God, you always bless and you win. You've never lost a battle. You've always been there. And God, I give you praise for that this morning. I thank you. I lift Brother Yanar and Sister Sarah up to you this morning. And God, I just thank you. I thank you for their servant leadership. And I pray as the church prays for them that they will support the pastor, stand behind the pastor. The vision that God, you have given him, that Lord, they too will catch wind of that vision. That God, you're here to bless and not discourage. You're here to move forward and not backward. Thank you, Lord. We declare the words of the Word of God that, Lord, even through the fire, even through the floods, you said you'd be with us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, friends, take your hand and put it over your heart. And I want you to pray a prayer for yourself. Say, Father, I pray that you would put in me the right spirit. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would bless me with the power of your Holy Ghost. And Lord, we need the power of the Holy Ghost to thrust this church forward with what you have prepared. We ask this in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Lift your hand to heaven and proclaim that name. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise. Isn't he wonderful this morning? Isn't he wonderful this morning? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Whew. Isn't God good this morning? Oh, such a sweet spirit all over this place. Hallelujah. Father, I love you this morning. Abba, Father, I love you this morning. I praise you this morning. I give you glory for what you've accomplished in this service already, Lord, what you've done. Now, God, we come before you right now. We ask if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior. That God, your conviction power will begin to flow in their life this morning. That, Father, you will cause them to know, you will cause them to realize their need for you this morning, Jesus. Father, we pray as a corporate body for every person that doesn't know you and hasn't believed on you as Lord and Savior. And God, I give you the praise for it in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what a day. What a wonderful day to come to know Him as Lord and Savior. All over this place, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you pray a simple prayer. And that is you ask the Lord to just simply come into your heart, to come into your life, and that you'll dedicate your life to Him. You'll give your life to Him. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Would you give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise this morning? Isn't He wonderful? Pastor, we love you. We love you and Sarah. Appreciate you so much. Thank you for having us this morning. My wife and I have kind of been out of the loop for a while, or the, as we would say in the hills of West Virginia, we've been out of the saddle for a while. And just now getting back into the saddle. And we thank you so much for your prayers. Your pastor and his wife have been so gracious to us and prayed with us. My wife had surgery, and after the surgery, I do want to say this. I'm going to give a word of testimony. It'll only take a second. You can keep standing. Back the first of the year, I was diagnosed with a heart condition, and the heart condition had to do with the aorta, and they diagnosed me with something called a bicuspid valve. Two of the leaflets in my heart, you have three in that area, two of those leaflets were fused together, causing my heart to pump blood harder. And so the doctor said, you're going to probably have that replaced by the time you're 60 years old, maybe sooner. And so we started believing, had people praying, and I'm going to tell you, I really have confidence in my mom and dad's prayers. And I called them and I said, yeah, I've got some things I want you to pray about. I want you to pray about this. So I went to the doctor, one hospital, it's clear. You can see the bicuspid valve. All of these tests, echocardiograms, MRIs, all that stuff. So anybody knows me, I want a second opinion. I go get a second opinion, you've got a bicuspid valve issue. This time they said you probably have to have this replaced in your early 50s. Well, I'm almost there. And so I said, if anybody knows me, I'm one of the best Pentecostals around. I need a third opinion. So we went to the University of Virginia. We saw a cardiologist down there who was one of the top surgeons in the area. And he did all of his tests. And I had a follow-up with my local doctor, and I went in to the local doctor. And the doctor that I see, I've seen this doctor since I was 14 years old. He's a good Christian doctor. Man, isn't it great to have a good Christian doctor? And I walked in, and he said, Pastor, he said, hallelujah. I said, well, hallelujah. He said, praise God. I said, praise God. I said, Doc, I'm not here for a prayer service. I'm here for my results. He said, that's what I'm praising God about. He said, I want to show you something. And he pulls up the reports, and you see all first two reports. And then the third report he pulls up, and he looks at it, and he said, you have a tri-leafed valve. And that bicuspid valve that was fused together has now split and has become the third valve leaflet. How many believe God is still a healer? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we have had such great success. And then on top of that, our oldest son, he's a youth pastor in Lexington, Virginia. He and his wife called us. We were at the Outer Banks, and they were videoing. And he was talking to me, and he said, Dad, he said, if you were going to have a grandbaby, what would you like to be called? And I said, well, I don't really know. I said, you know, probably just Grandpa. He said, well, congratulations, Grandpa. So we're going to be grandparents. And I just, hallelujah. And I can't believe that because I'm just too young to be a grandparent, you know. How many love the Lord? Which leader do I turn this back to? This guy, the whistler. I love that. When you visit my church in the future, would you come prepared to whistle?
Bless the Lord. Isn't God good? Man, you're a good father. You're a good daddy. You have good stuff for us all the time. Thank you, Brother Jim. Thank you for that. Let's give him a hand. Thank you. Let's honor the servant of the Lord. Good word. Bless the Lord. I'm going home and I'm going to throw away my drill. Not really. Anyway.